Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, joined here with psychic medium Sherry. We all just got disconnected, so there may be bugs in the machine this evening. Are you there, Sherry?
I'm here. You sound very tinny. You don't sound like you sound very afar.
Really? There's some weird stuff going on. I'm not sure exactly what the problem is. It's not on our end. It's either a Skype issue or a Blog Talk issue or something's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea. Usually you sound pretty like you're really right on and inside the microphone, but you sound very, very distant, like you're in the tunnel right now. Is it your system or something?
I'm going to try something here. Let me know if I can find it.
Yeah, you sound like you're in the basement.
How's that? Is that any better?
That could be better. Yeah, maybe it's my connection. I have no idea.
Hmm.
It could be just my connection also.
I got booted off Skype, and then it wouldn't let me reconnect, and then I saw other people getting booted, and so I don't know what's going on. Hopefully, we can maintain the integrity of this broadcast, and I don't sound like I'm talking in a can of Diet Coke.
Yeah, you sound like you're in the basement where it's kind of echoing and that kind of thing, but you're okay.
Oh,
now. It is what it is, but hey, welcome back. I've been gone for like a month and a half, haven't I?
Yeah, you have. What's been going on with you?
Oh my gosh, I've been on tour. That's the big thing.
Like
I was at Bigfoot Fest, and I'm going to make you feel guilty about this because, Cliff Rockman, Clyde Lewis, all the big names in the paranormal were there. And so, yeah, I think you got to have to find your priorities some one of these days and come on out.
I work in the shadows.
Oh, my gosh. So anyway, yeah, I got the chance to see Clyde and Ron Patton and Cliff Rockman and the other guy, and you know, really did really well, and I just was really happy. But you know, I've just been doing different shows, and you know, it's been really, really good. I've been very, very blessed, and you know, my Chinese medicine practice has been really rocking and rolling. So I'm very blessed and very humbled by you know, the successful outcomes of the clients that I serve, whether it's acute or chronic or whatever. They've been very, it's been very good. So.
Well, that's good. You've been busy. Not much going on in my neck of the woods. The same old stuff. Just working hard in the laboratory and eating a lot of pizza and watching a lot of Netflix. Nothing changes.
Wow. So anyway, and we're coming up in October, and I'm not sure. Maybe you can recollect with this. Am I going to be on with you 4 years now or 5 years? That make it four. It's either 4 or 5 years in October, Jason. What's that?
It's probably 4 years. The show's been around. I don't know. This is probably episode 256 or 7.
Wow.
Long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. Okay, so it's been 4 years. That's still pretty good. Yeah, I'm still coming in, you know, with Paranormal Horizons. I'm really enjoying talking to you and, you know, partnering up with you and everything else. And, yeah, it's really been good. It's been very, very awesome. So, yeah, next week, I'm not sure what's going on, but if I'm going to be back on tour, I've got to look at my schedule. It's crazy. But during the wintertime, things are slowed down so I can, you know, be part of it and you know, pick up the slack and everything. So, but in the meantime, I really want to introduce a new guest tonight. He's our first-time special guest. His name is Ivan Henry. I don't know if he's called in yet, but Ivan Henry is an activist. I mean, he's a social activist. He's just an activist of health and wellness and just, you know, having a conscious, very wisdom, a lot of conscious just really a nice guy, and as a matter of fact, I liked him so much I asked him to be a guest. So if he's called in, why don't you bring him in?
Yeah, get him on right now.
Hey, Ivan. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Great. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I didn't do I'm so sorry. I should have done the intro or the advertisement. I usually do that for you, but there's no excuse except I've just been very, very busy and just, it's been crazy with my life. But, yeah, you're going to have to share the, like our page, Paranormal Horizons, and share the show so that way you can share it
sure.
among your friends and family and people out there and know who you are and what we do on our radio show. And you're on iHeartRadio and Spotify and iTunes and, you know, you're on Spreaker. So, yeah, you're getting out there, buddy.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
So what's going on in your world?
What's going on in my world? Well, I mean, I have a new 9-week-old baby, so that's pretty epic. I mean, that's not really what the show is about, but that's the main thing. That's the main new thing in my life right now, you know.
Really? You have a 9-week-old baby. What did you end up having?
It's a girl, and her name is Soma, which is like a Sanskrit word for like the essence of life, basically, you know, something I picked up from some of Deepak Chopra stuff that I'm into, but anyway.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sure, very much.
Yeah,
so, you know, there's
congratulations.
That.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wow, it's good. You know, you're going to be able to really, with your wisdom and you learning so much in the metaphysical and the paranormal and the spiritual field that, you know, you're going to find that you're going to really be a good example for your daughter and perhaps your son. So that's what I see.
Thank you. I hope so. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, so, I see the things that you post, and, it, you know, we're random, so it's not nothing really specifically that, you know, we can talk about unless you want
yeah.
to, but, yeah, what, you know, you're talking about what are the different things that your concerns are or things that you post and everything. Let's give you the floor, okay?
Sure, sure. Well, so the main thing that I've been doing ever since 2012, I mean, aside from just, you know, doing work to, you know, to earn money, is the nonprofit. That's how we came to meet each other. I was volunteering in exchange for a booth at that mini Ren Fair last year, and I was also representing the nonprofit that I founded back in 2012, which is called Sunshine Awakenings, and I started it doing free art therapy for people, and free hugs for people, and free juggling lessons for people, and of course doing a lot of like homeless advocacy stuff, which I, you know, came into contact with that stuff back in those years as well. So now we have a program where we receive produce from one of the companies that's expanding. It's called Imperfect Produce. You know, they're definitely deserving of a plug on that. They donate to a bunch of nonprofits in the Portland area, and they have actually locations all over the country. But so they bring us produce, and then we take it to homeless camps and soup kitchens as, you know, a direct homeless advocacy action. And then when I have time, when I'm not having a new baby, I go down and make fresh juice for the homeless as well. We make like carrot juice and orange juice for people because, you know, just for the health, the vital, you know, nutritious food that people need, especially if they're going to go through, you know, what you have to go through to get back on your feet in some of those situations. Of course.
And you know what? When I met you, and I met you at one of the fairs, and as a matter of fact, I remember that when you were talking about feeding the homeless, that's what you do. You gather the people so that they can community thing, and it's awesome. Now, and I, you know, I'm really surprised that, and it's really, really neat that you're just not giving juice, you know, from, you know, just from the can. You're actually juicing it yourself as pure as possible. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, you can cure cancer with fresh juice. So, yeah, fresh juice is really, you know, really where it's at. So we take the produce that would have gone into the trash and turn it into superfood for people, you know, for poor and homeless people.
Well, that could be
good
for us. People don't do that. They rather go and buy things out of frozen, you know, frozen or canned and things like that.
Yeah. What are you going to say, man?
As it pertains to Portland, do you feel like the homeless population is becoming progressively larger? I noticed when I'm driving down 205, there's a long line of tents towards Portland. It seems to just be growing and growing and growing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, on the, you know, she guys introduced me as an activist, which, you know, I mean, I could fit into that space. You know, in the last years, I've been doing more focusing on the nonprofit stuff. But back in 2012, I was a full-time activist. And I don't know, when I say activism, a lot of people envision like yelling and holding signs and being angry. You know, one sister of mine used to call it divine protest. You know, and apart from just occupying the sidewalk in front of City Hall back in 2012. 2013 and 2014, during which, you know, the peak spring and summer nice seasons of all three of those years, you know, allowed us to have like over 100 people out there, you know, a real, you know, little community that was, I don't know, there's an interview with me from that year of 2013, actually, during that event. And it was after the whole Occupy Wall Street movement and after the Occupy Portland movement. After that, we had it was a prayer vigil actually started at City Hall there. And the people who were living there, now anyone was welcome to come there. So there was people who were, you know, people who were on drugs and, you know, people who just got out of jail, you know, 'cause it was like right across the street from the Justice Center and in the jailhouse there, you know, but it was a real, real lesson in community and getting along with anyone who might just happen by. And that's when I started the nonprofit, by the way, is back in 2012 when I was sleeping in front of City Hall there. And, you know, mind you, I was never on, you know, drugs or alcohol or anything like that. I was never, you know, without a place I could go if I wanted to. I just chose to be there, standing up for humanity, for the, you know, for the aspect of just protesting a lot of the things, all the injustices, you know, the list goes on and on. But people who were there, as I said in the interview, we were living, you know, in accordance with a human-based system of values as opposed to a money-based system of values, you know, which is, it's almost the opposite. It's a very, very different thing. And in 2013, we had the fortune of having another brother of mine who I've been actually in communication with over the last few weeks. I'm helping him get a business going. He's an ex-Marine, and he got us, you know, got a lot of people out there organized to where we're having meditation circles. We were having like councils where we'd all circle up and talk about what was going on. I talked about that back then too, that when we would have a group meditation out there in either Chapman Square, Lounsdale Square, or the Federal Park, and I think it's called Terry Schwunk Plaza there, all the three parks that are in between the Portland City Hall, the County Courthouse, the Portland Building, the Justice Center, the Federal Courthouse, and then the new federal building they built back in 2013, I think it was 2012. When you have a group meditation like that, everyone in the surrounding area will have affected brain chemistry. They'll actually have increased serotonin levels in their brains, even if they don't know there's a meditation taking place. And I studied that stuff long before I was ever into this type of advocacy and activism type of work. But I understand what was actually happening there, in a very, very peaceful way. We were affecting change, for the positive. Now, how I came to all this, like I said, you guys introduced me as an activist, so I should speak about that. But how I came to all this, you mentioned the tents. Now, of course, there's two sides to the whole tent thing. They can't turn the city into a dump, although, the city is, the whole concept of the city and just taxing people is very draconian in nature. But people who sleep on the sidewalk and in tents, they shouldn't let their trash just pile up and pile up and pile up. And it's the people who are on the hard drugs, the meth and stuff, that have these type of behaviors. But you also shouldn't be blocking the bike trail on the 205. You mentioned, the shit. Like, I had one brother of mine, I had an instance where a guy, came out and grabbed his bicycle. Like, you need to slow down. It's like, man, this is the bike trail. You need to share the bike trail. If you're going to camp here, that's one thing. But anyway, part of the intention, the intention that the prayer vigil had back then, it was started in 2012, even 2011, actually, December of 2011, was to end the camping ban in Multnomah County. And I had heard of this since I was a teenager, that the statutes and ordinances in Multnomah County were such that you can't even camp in your yard, technically, because of the camping ban. And you understand, the city plays this little word game, legal word trickery, where they say, well, we're not persecuting you for just trying to sleep, because sleep is a human need. You'll die without sleep. Sleep deprivation is one of the oldest known forms of torture. So the city will say in court, we're not persecuting you for trying to sleep. We're just saying you can't have a blanket when you sleep. Or we're just saying you can't camp. No, quote-unquote, camping, which is just a way to try to get around the idea to try to prevent folks from actually trying to sleep. But anyway, in 2015... I left the state for maybe 6 months for another peace gathering I went to in the Midwest. And I stayed over there for about 6 months, met some really awesome people over there. And when I came back in late 2015, there were tents everywhere. So apparently, things definitely did change to where people are being allowed more to just live and exist, And like I said, I can see both sides of it. There's good and bad to that. But the point is, society needs change. It's a debt slavery system. That's the root of the problem. The problem are not the people on the street. The problem is the system that engenders, an environment that takes people's homes away with the bank, foreclosure scams and all this. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, coming back to the nonprofit, understanding all this, if you really study the science of consciousness, like I mentioned meditation and such earlier, whatever you give your attention to, grow stronger in your life. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that concept. Whatever you think about, you feed and you attract into your life. So most of what I do is keep my attention on the positive. And it even says right in the nonprofit mission statement that one of the purposes, if not the purpose, of this nonprofit is to help to facilitate and help bring about the quantum shift in the collective consciousness, where everyone collectively wakes up and becomes more peaceful and loving and unified and conscious. So, giving our attention to the positives is what I mostly do. I don't know if you guys are familiar with an experiment called the 100th monkey phenomenon, but
no, what's that?
Scientists off the coast. Okay, so when I talk about the quantum shift in the collective consciousness, that's one of the examples I'm speaking about. So some scientists off the coast of Japan. I don't recall if they were Japanese, but some scientists went to some islands off the coast of Japan, and they did an experiment with these monkeys, where they gave all the monkeys dirty potatoes. And it took the monkeys, I forget, a couple of months to figure out how to wash them off in the stream so they wouldn't have to sit there and eat them and chew and spit out the little dirt and grit that was mixed with them. Now, this sounds like, where am I going with this story, right? But after a while, one monkey figured out how to wash the potatoes off in the stream. And then slowly, the rest of the monkeys around picked up on this phenomenon. Now, here's where the magic comes in. As soon as a certain percentage of the monkeys learned how to do that, behavior, if you want to call it that, then all of a sudden, all the monkeys knew. Okay, it's called the critical mass, the percentage that is required, of a population of species to learn a certain behavior or a certain thing, and then all of them will know it. And we're talking monkeys on other islands of the same species who had never had contact with these monkeys. They could go to the other island, give them a potato, and they would immediately wash it off in the stream. So, we're all connected through the collective consciousness, Scientists call it the unified field or the morphogenetic field. You know, they have a few names for it, but it's the great spirit, you know, the one electromagnetic energy field that we're all part of. And that's an example of how if enough of us start to wake up a little bit like that, it will affect everyone.
Do you think that's possible that could happen with all the negativity
in the
world with wars? You do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's inevitable. I think with all the propaganda and wars and nonsense, you know, it's a joke. It's a candle in the wind, you know, trying to stop the evolution of consciousness. It's happening. It's going to happen. I think it's already happening, to tell you the truth. And, I mean, it's something you can't really prove. You know, so I can't sit here and say yes, you know, and show you evidence. Actually, I can show you some evidence of it, but... Yeah, no, I do. I believe it can happen, and it is happening. Tell you the truth, man. I absolutely do.
Well, we definitely need it to happen. There's so much nonsense out there with conflict and war, you know, money and
you're
ego.
You're really echoing. You're not...
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know it. What, what's that, Sherry?
Interference.
Yes, yes.
Okay, can you hear? I can hear you, Ivan, really loud and clear.
Yep, I can hear both of you guys. Just fine. Are you loud and clear to me?
Huh. Well, like I said, I hope that the consciousness continues to grow. It seems like sometimes it's hard to tell when you focus on the news, what's happening around the world, to believe that it's getting better, but perhaps it is.
No, it is. The news is mental poison. Most of the mainstream news is specifically designed to drudge up the most grisly negativity they can find. I mean, it's that these days, you know, that's no mystery. It's all owned by a handful of people. It's all controlled and censored and manipulated, you know, for the most part, but it is getting better. You know, now let me give you one example here, since we're on a protest segment here, or an activist segment. So it's really hard to know what to believe. You know, whether you hear about it in the mainstream media or you hear about it in the alternative media, it's really hard to know what really is happening if you weren't there. That's part of what I found living outside of the time that I did, is that keeping us in our own little separate boxes and having us overworked so much that all we have time to do is go to work and come home and then, you know, maybe relax and do whatever we do to relax, you know, and then go to sleep and go back to work the next day. And the only source of information we have as to what's actually happening in the outside world is through the television set, the number one propaganda and number one opiate of the masses. That's actually a really huge aspect and a really huge facet of the divide and conquer strategy. And I really, really learned that experientially when I was living outside. Because if you're there, you know what happened. You don't have to believe this or that. But anyway, back to my original point, it's hard to know what to believe, okay? But let me give you an example of a pretty thorough formula. When I read in my alternative media sources that certain things are about to happen, case in point, that this new administration, for whatever it's worth, was, I read this several years ago, that they were going to be going after these high-level sexual predators, okay? And then what do we see in the mainstream news that's so big that they can't even hide it? The arrests of Anthony Weiner, of Harvey Weinstein, of Sandusky, of, you know, this Epstein, of Cardinal Pell. Okay. Now, that, I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty thorough formula to believe that something is happening for the better. You know, in this case, for the better.
That's true. I'm seeing a lot more of that going on out there. People getting busted.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. They desperately need it. You know, there were some real, real criminals. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I wonder if there's people out there, like in some Bavarian castle somewhere, that want to keep our consciousness on a low level. Like they're aware that we need to become more, you know, treat people better and all that. Want to improve the consciousness. There's a group of people that actually are aware of that, but are trying to suppress the masses from being more positive.
100%, man. You know, for a long time, there's been a campaign of preventing us from connecting with our true potential and, you know, preventing us from learning that, you know, your cells not only receive photons from the sun, but your body emits 1,000 photons per cell per second. You know, we're light beings. Oh, believe me. Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's definitely a campaign of attempting to keep the vibration low. I mean, the news media, the mainstream news media, all the fear and propaganda is like one of the number one tools. That's the recognized method, is fear, you know. anyway. But it's okay. Like I said, it's going to fail. Go ahead.
We're definitely living in a fear-based society. You know, it's always a terrorism, this and that. The war on drugs, the conflict, definitely the media.
Well, you know it.
You don't hear a lot about the good things. So you're never going to turn on the news and all of their stories are going to be positive. Yeah, they throw one in every once in a while. It's ridiculous. You almost have to unplug.
Right. You do. From that. See, that's also one of their techniques, what I understand, is, you know, to get you to overload point. But no, you don't watch the mainstream news. You know, you the internet now, which I actually read recently, the internet was actually designed by some people in the military with good intentions to help assist in the awakening. That's what I read the other day. But you got to research for yourself. You know, don't just listen to the mainstream news. You know, definitely.
What do you think, Sherry? You think that things are getting better, or are we at a standstill?
Well, it seems like it's getting worse. We were talking about earlier today where we drove out down in the country. We live out in the forest, and we were driving down the country road, and here this guy was, and thank goodness I was looking down in my phone, but I guess this guy, my husband was very upset that the guy was literally going to the bathroom in the middle of the road, and he wasn't even private about it. He said you could see all his private parts and everything, and he was pretty upset because he says, you know, why is it that people are defecating or urinating out in the public when they can be discreet and go in a place where, you know, it's not in public, number one, but it's also in, you know, right in the middle of a road. And you know, I've been kind of reading. Ivan too probably knows this, that in San Francisco, a lot of people used to be one of the, what do you call it, tourist attractions of places to go and visit. But there's a lot of pockets in San Francisco where there's really a lot of, you know, it's always been, but I guess it's getting more pronounced, a lot of crime, a lot of, you know, really filthy and dirty. And I guess my husband was reading on this thing where they even have people that are designed to literally clean that kind of stuff when people are dropping needles or defecating or all these gross things that should have been, you know, taken care of and everything to try and clean up.
I did hear that, yeah.
I
heard it. Go ahead.
There's a San Francisco poo map you can look at where people mark where people have defecated on the street, and there's so many thousands of marks that the entire city of San Francisco is brown. It's terrible.
I wouldn't
be surprised. I'm not from San Francisco, but you know, San Francisco's got really some rich pockets, but it's also got some poor pockets. And you know, where I was brought up, an hour south of San Francisco by Silicon Valley, but still, you know, San Francisco has its good points and bad points, but I hear that the homeless population is just an all-time high, and being, you know, the rent and the real estate so high, I don't know how anybody can live, even in a minimum wage job, how they can live like that, even up here in Oregon. Our California, we're moving up here and driving the houses, high housing prices. Oregon was very reasonable and very affordable to live, but, you know, people are flocking to Arizona, Texas, Nevada, all kinds of other places other than Oregon because it's starting to drive the prices that people can't afford living in Oregon now.
Mm-hmm. Well, property tax rising doesn't help either.
No, it doesn't. And you're talking about the homelessness. What? My goodness, there are people, and I know you were talking about it earlier, Ivan. You're talking about the homeless. I know that some of them, you know, they choose to be homeless for one reason, but there are other times where homelessness could be from, you know, either mental illness or drug addictions, alcohol addiction, a combination of them, and lack of jobs, and, you know, all these other things. So, you know, what is our government are supposedly helping these people. We don't even have any mental institutions to even help these people.
Right. And the veterans, yeah, no, it's the system. It's the system. You know, it's just a symptom, you know, of the system. But yeah, for sure.
Not to be too much of a conspiracy theorist, but It seems like we're constantly bombarded with advertisements for drugs. I mean, you go to your doctor because you have a red dot in your skin and they want to put you on antidepressants. I mean, the doctors and pharmaceutical companies are trying to shove all this stuff down your throat. Is it possible that that is some sort of conscious effort to keep us suppressed?
I mean, does Howdy Doody have wooden glasses, man?
Oh, that's
get
way
that reference.
Before my time.
Okay. Well, so you know what Howdy Doody was, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was a show.
Right. It's just an old saying.
Right.
The old saying is actually a little bit more, more you know, gritty than that. But yeah, it's in other words, absolutely.
Yeah. You can't turn on your television anymore without, get Biktarvy or Truvada or all these things, and then it's like it always cracks me up every time I see one because it's like. May cause, you know, heart attack, death, stroke,
right.
blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why do you want to stick this to your body?
Yeah.
The side effects
I haven't watched.
Potentially worse
yeah.
than your
right.
annoying ailment.
Exactly. I haven't seen those commercials in so long, man, because I don't watch, like, regular TV, but I know what you mean. You know who did a funny bit about that recently is Dana Carvey. Dana Carvey's most recent show is, like, 60 white male, single, 60 or something like that, and he does a bit about that. He says, I'm waiting to see one that says, does your tongue feel smaller than it used to? You'd have to see. I don't want
oh,
to
wow.
recreate it. It was good.
Oh,
it was good. Exactly. What. Yeah, yeah. It's on. I couldn't find it on YouTube. It's only on Netflix. I actually paid for Netflix just to watch his special for a month there. But, yeah, no, it's yeah, we know it. You know it. It's absurd. So, you know, Monsanto has lost a couple of cases recently. I forget what it was. Several precedent-setting cases, though, which is really good news. They preserved about 7 million acres of the Amazon. This is all recent good news I've heard in the last 3 months, probably, to where, you know, they won against the corporations and other countries that were trying to come in and force or kill off the native people who were living in the Amazon and strip mine it and build 40 dams and all this nonsense. They recently won in court against them. I don't know if you guys read about that, but look that one up. And then, like I said, Monsanto and then Apple lost one recently for some kind of monopoly with their app store. There's actually a whole lot of good stuff going on behind the scenes. You know, there's really like a lot of secret stuff going on. People are talking about how Trump's administration is actually ending the whole chemtrail thing, which I'm sure you guys are undoubtedly aware of. And I was watching online the other day. Yeah, people from all around the country have been posting videos. I guess California is still like a Democratic state, so I guess they're still doing it from what I read. But I've been noticing here in Oregon this last, you know, month or two that I'm not seeing them like I was seeing them. So that's also good news.
Yeah.
And, of course, the whole Jeffrey Epstein.
The Epstein thing. But I just read something about, Evergreen Aviation down there with the McMinnville area, that big private aviation company, and they go out and fight fires. Apparently, they were contracted through the CIA, and they were big into that chemtrail thing up here in Oregon.
I hadn't heard of them, but, yeah, I don't doubt it for a second.
Wow, I didn't know that. My gosh. Wow.
They went out of business in 2013, but apparently they were doing the chemtrail. But I'm always kind of a skeptic when it comes to that because I'm not an expert. You know, there are vapors
right.
that jets
right.
have and stuff like
right.
that, but,
right.
you know, who knows what's going on.
Exactly. It's hard to say. I swear by it, but, I mean, you know, people who've been alive longer than probably us, you know, say, you know, the last 20 years or so prior to that, this guy looked different. And then they're doing this for all this time. And, you know, I've seen their excuse that it's a contrail, which is just vapor when the sky is cold. But, you know, it's something that we could never really prove. So yeah, it's up to speculation, but I haven't been seeing as many planes leaving, you know, white streaks. Now I will tell you this, it's declassified now that they've been using weather modification technology. I won't even go into like HARP and the ionosphere and all that, but just cloud seeding technology. It's declassified now. They've been using cloud seeding since Vietnam. Okay. I mean, you guys ever watch any Gaia.com? I've been watching a lot of that in the last year or so. And, I mean, the things they have now, like I said, the stuff is declassified now. People are so, you know, the see no evil, hear no evil, the three monkeys. you know, or they just don't want to accept it, or they, whatever their reason, I understand not wanting to accept this stuff. I'm not mad at anybody for their point of view whatsoever, but, you know, the stuff is declassified now. It's declassified now that the Nazis had, like, saucer-shaped flying crafts, like, back prior to World War II. I mean, when I say declassified, I mean, they're admitting it now. It's been so long, they don't even care anymore. The truth is that a lot of things are there if you just look, you know. It's right there for people to see. It's interesting.
I feel like the government and corporations just want to keep us like zombies, like drones, you know, go to work, watch TV, pay your taxes, you know, and they don't want any sort of consciousness awakening because they don't want people to think for themselves. They don't want
activists, it's not good for business.
That's for sure.
Right.
They put in these cops in these protests that are, you know, instigators and provocateurs.
Yes. Yes.
That's crazy.
True. That's true. It sure is.
Wow.
I just remember.
That's crazy. So what do you think about Epstein? Do you think he's still alive, or do you think it's a cover-up? Ivan, what's your opinion?
I really, you know, wouldn't even, you know, dream to try to say I know for sure, but, you know, obviously a lot of people are saying that he was killed before he could testify. You know, just the fact that they just happened to not check on him and lost the video, I mean, that's, you gotta be kidding me. But one thing I read also is that they may have faked the death to get him, you know, off the radar so he could testify. You know, I have no idea. You know, I know that he was arrested this time, and he didn't get a sweetheart deal like last time where he got 13 months in county for human trafficking and was allowed to go on work release. I know that one of the guys involved in that just resigned from his Secretary of Labor position in the Trump administration because of his involvement in that little, you know, sweet deal where they sealed off all the documents and prevented any federal investigation, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I know that Bill Clinton had 25 documented trips or so on his airline. You know, it's silly, but
yeah. Did Clinton kill
with our people that are running the country, huh?
Yeah. I heard you. I didn't hear you, Sherry. What did you say?
Makes you wonder about the people that are running the country.
Well, I like what David Wilcox says. You know, he says, like, he calls them the powers that were. Did you guys know that the Rothschilds are selling their business? Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know anything about that. My husband taught me this.
Yeah, no, and I read it on one of my alternative media sites, and then they had a link, and it was on their website. It was on Rothschildandco.com that they're selling their trust business. I've had a couple of my friends say, well, you know, they still don't believe that's a good sign. Well, maybe they're doing something else now. Or I said, you know, if there is a better financial position than being at the top of the debt slavery pyramid, I don't know what it is. You know, so I don't see why they would sell that business, even if they had a better thing going on. Who knows? But there's a lot of signs. There's a lot of movement that's really hard to ignore. You know, all we can do is, you know, hope for the best and, you know, keep the collective, keep the vibration up, like I said, you know, keep our attention on the positive and, you know.
Yeah, and just be aware of it. That's the fact is that you're aware of it is a big thing, you know, that really helps. Keep your eyes open, but, you know, don't fall for anything that happens, you know. Think about it and then be discerning.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, that's all you can do is just educate yourself and be discerning and research. Just because somebody says that doesn't mean, you know, it makes it so. So, yeah.
Right.
It's true. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I you know, just doing small acts of kindness is the whole thing. You know, if you can... You don't have to impact a bunch of people, but if you can, you know, help raise consciousness to one person that they can help others or you can help others, I think that to me, you know, that'll be a lasting imprint and you'll leave your own legacy.
Right on.
Really.
Little acts of kindness, for sure. For sure.
So what do you think, Jason?
Well, as you know, I've always been a big fan of little acts of kindness and... I've always wanted to meditate. My problem is I am so ingrained to the technology out there. I mean, I got VR, I watch movies, I got powerful computers. It's hard for me to disconnect from that. It's almost, well, it's like an addiction. And although I know I need to do that. And but I've tried to meditate in the past, but I, you know, it's like one of those things where you meditate one or two days, and then you just kind of get back into the same old regular routine. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It takes discipline.
Sure. 100%. Well, it's hard the first couple times. Most of my meditation education is from Deepak Chopra's work. I mentioned him earlier. Excuse me. And it is hard the first. It's hardest the first couple times that you do it. So they recommend that you use a sound, like the Om sound or any one of the vowels, which is actually also proven to kill cancer cells, by the way. When you make any vowel sound, they've proven that they can put cancer cells in a test tube and expose it to the vibration of Om or Ah or any vowel, and it kills the cancer cells. But yeah, you use that sound. Yes, 100%. Use that sound, and then you give your full attention to the vibration created in your body by that sound. And that's one of the ways you can get meditation going the first couple times. And, you know, I also highly recommend Deepak's work about Ayurveda, which is like naturopathic medicine, naturopathic philosophy from India. And depending on your body type, you know, you're going to have different tendencies with your physiology, the way that your metabolism works and the way that your mind works and stuff. In Sanskrit, it's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. In Western medical terminology, it's endomorphic, mesomorphic, and ectomorphic. And it's basically like air sign, fire sign, earth sign type thing. But it affects, like you said, it affects your mind, your body tremendously. So I highly recommend that stuff.
What's the different thing you just said about your body type? What is that?
So, well, I mean, it's a whole study, but first of all, you can go to Deepak's website. It's like chopra.com and search for the dosha quiz, the Sanskrit word for your cycle.
Oh, I'm more athletic. My body type, what is it called?
Mesomorphic.
Before I went into
bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding, I wanted to find out whether I was going to be in for physique or figure or bikini or, you know, whatever, or bodybuilders. You know, in the women, we start out bikini, then we go into figure, then we go into physique, bodybuilding, and then powerlifting. But with my body, I've been told I'm more muscular, but I can still train for either bikini or figure, which is that metamorphic, whatever. I'm not sure how you call that.
Mesomorphic.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's okay. That's you know, remember that all different styles, you know, have good and bad to go along with them. You know, no one is better than any other. Excuse me, just good to know which one that you have so you know which things are good or bad for you, because, you know, a diet that's balancing for a Pitta type is not balancing for a Kapha type or a Vata type, etc. You know, and your mind can also be a little different than your body, too. Excuse me. That's another reason we talked about the pharmaceuticals, you know, and the ghoulish, you know, trap that is. You know, you look at the food that they, you know, they sell, the fast food, and then you see the next commercial is how to fix it with some type of, you know, horrible pharmaceutical, like you said, that has side effects worse than the actual original ailment. So that's one other reason why I feel it's really important to learn about some of these naturopathic things to help balance yourself. You know, they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And, you know, so I think that's really important to learn about that type of stuff. And it's all available out there. You know, you just got to go and, again, do your independent research. You know, don't believe what the mainstream television and mainstream media, you know, tells you, or the newspapers or the magazines. You know, learn for yourself. I'll give you an example. It's one of my favorite ones to share about this. Go ahead.
Pay attention to how you feel. It's a good example.
Yes.
I mean, with being trained in as a practitioner in Chinese medicine.
That's right. You are. I forgot that. Yeah.
How you feel? What, you know? What certain things are going to agree with certain people? And just because, like you just said, you know, as an example, an apple a day is going to keep the doctor away. Some people don't. Their bodies don't agree with apples. You have to pay attention. Some people may not require an apple a day. They may require half an apple. So as individualistic as Chinese medicine, we are so tailored in customizing a treatment plan or diet plan or whatever. I really pay attention to your body. Your body will tell you a lot more than sometimes a machine will pick up.
For sure.
And that's what I do in medical Qigong, is I'm a medical intuitive.
Nice.
So
nice.
Your body will tell me before you, oftentimes when you don't even know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, the Chinese medicine is definitely very similar and maybe even more intuitive. I don't know. I haven't, you know, I'm not like a, you know, I don't have a doctorate degree or anything in it. I just know enough to, you know, to keep myself balanced and share a little bit of it. But one of my favorite things to share when it comes to that is, so in Ayurveda, they recommend you do an oil massage every day. And the oil you use is depending on which body type you are. And that balances your physiology. Using the oil type is good for you, but then the process of applying the oil to your body, because your skin is the second largest producer of immune cells and immune hormones in your body, second only to the gastrointestinal tract, when you do the Ayurvedic oil massage, it releases all these immunomodulators into your bloodstream, the interleukins and interferons, you know, the immune cells and immune hormones, and so it's highly, you know, healing, similar to your immune system and all that. But one of the things that's released when you do the skin massage is called VIP. It's a vasoactive intestinal polypeptide. And that polypeptide happens to occupy the same receptor site on the T cell of your immune system as the AIDS virus does. So if you do this Ayurvedic oil massage every day, which they recommend you do, even if you're perfectly healthy, the AIDS virus, you could have HIV. And it won't be able to compromise your immune system. Now that's straight from Deepak.
Wow.
Yes. Now that's straight from Deepak Chopra, who's one of the experts of this whole field. So that's a fact. You can look that up. So I mean, if, you know,
I like Deepak Chopra. He's just a pioneer
yes.
Also spiritual medicine, but
all that.
You know, Ayurvedic medicine is very much into Hindu religion. You know, very much. He's very spiritual, very spiritual soul, but also very balanced. He's practical, but also...
Exactly.
Yeah, I like the
Chopra.
Awesome.
Definitely. A lot of what he does is, like, combine, like, the spiritual traditions with science, like modern quantum physics and stuff, and show how they actually corroborate each other, which I think is beautiful. Because how can you argue with that? You know, how can you argue with the ancient spiritual... like Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, you know, agreeing with the modern science, and they call it like mind-body medicine, consciousness-based medicine, and also about the meditation we talked about and all that stuff. You know, meditation, whether you make a sound or in a group or not, you know, lowers your stress hormone levels, your adrenaline and cortisol levels, increases your anti-aging / growth hormone levels, you know, it increases your brain and heart wave coherence. It increases your vasoactive metabolic rate, which is the rate your metabolism runs when you are at rest. You know, it's fantastic. It's all provable. It's all quantifiable, all measurable. So, yeah, it's
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Sure that is absolutely amazing.
I'm sure the pharmaceutical companies don't want us to know about that.
Right. Well, his books are still out there, though. They have no chance in trying to silence him. So I'm saying it's out there. You just got to look, and you can find the information out there. Just you know, avoid buying into the mainstream nonsense, you know.
I think I've got three of his books.
Nice.
I haven't even really read them. I've got three of them. Yeah.
Yeah, check them out.
Good.
Start with your body type.
So. But, that's all about science and spirituality, and you know, it's all combining everything. And for me, I think, you know, when I preach to people and they come to me for a reading, you know, whether it's psychic or mediumship or Chinese medicine, I look at the body, mind, and spirit as a whole. How whole are you? How whole are you mentally, emotionally, physically? You know, and it all bleeds off. It bleeds out all, you know, financially, sexually, everything. You know, too much of a good thing is not a good thing. You know, everything.
Yep.
Everything's got to be in control and in moderation. That's what I feel, to be balanced.
Yep. No doubt.
And if you
don't
have control of your, you know, desires or whatever, if there's some issues going on, there's some, you know, some things that need to be addressed, I should say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But, there's so much of it, and just try to keep healthy and... you know, just trying to go and be the best person you can be. And, you know, like with me, I try to preach you know, try to be who I preach, you know, the body, mind, and spirit. So being that, you know, I try and I've always been athletic ever since I was a little girl. And, you know, I've always been into sports, whether I was in college, I was in volleyball, competitive volleyball, tennis, and then I had kids, and then going into competitive running. My Hit to Coast team is on the top four division this year of 1,050 teams. I founded the group called the Hagley Carriers 23
nice.
Years ago, and we are still strong in Hood to Coast and became
awesome.
In fourth in our division.
Congratulations.
Like I said, among 1,050 teams, so I'm pretty happy with those guys. I
beautiful,
haven't
beautiful.
Been with them for 3 years, and, you know, just a lot of things. My readings and my business really took off, so I had a, you know, that was more of a priority, and I don't want to run that far anymore. I've got too many marathons under my belt, and I don't want to run anymore, so... You know, I've
yeah.
had that experience, and it's all good. So now I'm bodybuilding. Now I'm just, you know, as you saw me, I was bodybuilding then, and I, you know, learning from experience and everything, and, you know, from injuries. I had a partially torn rotator cuff, and, you know, coming back, and my muscles were starting to really start cutting again after 3 months, and, you know, it's the body, mind, and spirit. So just trying to put my whole life in balance, but also in perspective also. Look at you, Ivan. Here you are. You're community-based, and you're growing your company, everything else, and now you got a little one in the world so that you can hopefully she'll be able to help and be an example of what you do to make the world a better place.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I hope that's true. I mean, I'll do all my part to make sure that's true. You know, we all have our own individual free will and, you know, destiny, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I certainly hope so. I would certainly imagine, you know, a child would, you know, gain some of the positive values for sure, and a good, you know, good
exactly.
influences.
And all you can do is be the best person you can be, and by being that and being service to others, you are an example of not only those
yes.
who are close to you, but those that are around you. Most
yes.
definitely.
Awesome.
So anyway, so what else are you doing? Are you still are you saying you're still going and distributing free food and everything? That's all.
Yes,
are these people would you say are they always reliant, or is there a team where they can help people to, you know, to bring give them some basic skills so that they can, you know, mentally they can really help themselves instead of, you know, depending on a free handout?
I mean, you know, there's programs out there, you know, a lot of programs. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not quite into that. I've been thinking about actually doing like a vocational rehab branch, or perhaps just like a nonprofit like tutoring branch, because I've done some computer tutoring in my life just to give people the computer skills that they might be lacking to help get a job in today's, you know, computer-based market. But at this point, we're just doing the art therapy, the juggling lessons, the free hugs, the you know, I'm working on some meditation stuff, but you know, the produce distribution to the homeless camps and or soup kitchens, you know, and the juicing. Like I said, I haven't had much time with the juicing lately because I've been, you know, having the child and stuff, and my wife's not working and stuff. So, but anyway, yeah, no, it's still going good though.
I was going to ask you when people are homeless. Are they kicking the homeless camps out? What is the city doing? Are they helping them, or are they just looking at them as a menace, and they just, you know, they get so much of the complaints and they just get rid of them and have them?
I mean, you know,
how's the homeless situation in Portland?
I mean, to tell you the truth, like, even when I was on the front line of front lines at City Hall, like, I don't know exactly all what's happening. You know, they do sweeps. You know, you see people getting – you see the sweeps because you can see when tents are there for a long time, and you see them all gone. That's how you know there was a sweep. But, I mean, you know, it changes from day to day. There's always, you know, tents along the bike trail, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, yeah, you know, they're allowing the tents, I can tell you that, a lot more than they used to prior to 2015. But, you know, they still do sweeps, of course. You know, they still kick people out when they're there too long, or whenever they decide – the mayor says go do a sweep. You know, you could have an update every day or more on that one.
Wow. So, you know, how are they helping the people? Once they just build a community or something, that I don't know. That's just me. They're trying to help. I mean, I don't mean to say this, but they probably weren't homeless, so they don't understand what it's like to be. Unless you're homeless yourself, you don't know what it's like.
Yeah, you know, the city is a business, you know, and many of their ordinances, like I said, are like draconian. You know, they're about money. They're money-based system, you know, they operate with a money-based system of values. You know, I mean, some people you just can't help too, but, you know, they have programs and this and that, but a lot of it's fake. You know, the previous mayor was, you know, appropriating money. Like, there was a Chinese gentleman who donated like $10 million. He was somehow associated with, I think he might have been the guy who made the elephant statue in Elephant Park, or he was associated with him. I forget the details, but he gave $10 million to the city to beautify the city and to help the homeless program, and then the mayor just basically stole it, you know. He, like, it, and he said it ended up in the general fund. You know, it's a joke, you know, it's a joke. I mean, they're politicians. They're undoubtedly corrupt, you know.
Did they end up persecuting him and did he go to jail, or did he just slap his hand?
No, I don't think anything to him. The money just ended up in the general fund. I don't recall the details, but no, there was no charges filed. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's just how it works, you know. Politicians.
Wow.
And money.
What do you think, Jason?
I think politicians are corrupt, probably the vast majority of them. And I think stuff like that should be criminal. Somebody donates money with a specific intent, and you just throw it in a general fund. It's ridiculous. I think it's the root of the problem with the people in the world. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants power. And the people that have power and money want to stay and remain in power and do whatever it takes. And that's going to be a tough nut to crack, because people don't want to give up their Lexuses and their mansions.
Right. And the problem is in the hearts of people. You know, that's a problem with people. That's why, you know, there's an old saying, and it's the hand that crushes the tyrant's head becomes the tyrant in his stead. And, you know, the idea there is that even if people were to overthrow the government with, you know, like an actual violent revolution, you know, all that would happen, most likely, and I'll speak on this a little bit more, but is that the next biggest group of jackbooted thugs would take over, and they might be worse than the ones in power now. It's people in line who want to do these things. So a real change will only happen if it is accompanied by a shift in consciousness. This is what I talked about originally with the collective consciousness, you know, awakening the quantum shift. So, you know, and it's people, you know, all the divide and conquer stuff, which is the only way that a few can possibly control as many as they keep control, but the fear and the mind, you know, the mind manipulation and the oppression and the et cetera, is the divide and conquer thing, you know. But what was I going to say? Yeah, it has to be accompanied by a shift in consciousness. Oh, yeah, so I was going to say, so the us and them thing. Right, it's always an us and them thing. But even when it comes to, like, you know, the police, you know, many of whom are also corrupt, and the people at the top of that pyramid, you know, are certainly corrupt. You know, police, you know, I take them on a person by person basis. You know. But here's the thing, it's not even about the police; it's about people. Okay, let me just say this. This is a powerful statement. If there weren't people out there who had it in their hearts to go out there and act the way that some of these people do when they put on a badge, then they wouldn't be able to hire people to go out there and do that. So the problem is in the hearts of the people themselves. It's in the people themselves.
We got to wrap it up. So for
the list, goes for, you know, like guns. You know, you can't blame the guns. You got to blame exactly. It's not the guns that you got to take care of. It's the people behind the guns.
Well,
it was nice talking to you guys. I appreciate the time and whatnot. Now I'm pretty much I'm getting late for me too over here, so yeah. But I just, it was nice. Thanks for having me. I definitely appreciate it, and it's lovely to. And what was your name again, my brother?
Jason.
Oh, Jason.
Jason. Nice.
Jason.
Yeah. Well, you said it at the beginning.
Jason,
but yes. No, I called it at the beginning of the show.
The
nice to meet you, Jason.
Paranormal Horizons. That's it.
Lovely.
It's his show.
Lovely. Yes.
And we're
nice to meet you, Jason.
Coming up with my show, which is Portals to Enlightenment: Your Journey of Body, Mind, Spirit. So,
lovely.
My Deuces will be back on air in a couple months, and that's kind of in the works behind the scenes right now. So I'll be having my show. I still will do Paranormal Horizons, but I will have my show, the Journey to Enlightenment. Yeah, in a couple months. That'd be awesome.
Beautiful. Nice to talk to you, Jerry. Nice to meet you, Jason. Go ahead.
Take care. You, hey, before, thank you, Ivan.
You
thank you so much. Thank you for taking your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Before you go,
what are you
going to
say, Jason?
What is one message you can send out to the listeners to help them improve their consciousness moving forward?
The only way we can change the world really effectively is to change ourselves and lead by example. Like I said, understand the science of consciousness, that whatever you think about grows stronger in your life, and treat people the way you want to be treated. Like I said, the little kindness, it's just, what else is there? Thank
just
you for that.
Just be kind. Alrighty, Ivan, thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your message with us.
My pleasure. Well, thank you for having me. You guys take care. Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Ivan. Congratulations.
We've been saying it for a long time. Acts of kindness and improving one's, mood. It's a challenge for me. It's not easy. Especially when we're surrounded by so much negativity, it's really difficult to kind of rise above that and become more positive and send out a positive message. But it's not impossible. We should all go out.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard, huh, Jason? Sometimes it's very difficult, especially if we're going through some stuff of our own or, something's bothering us or, you have health problems. I mean, knock on wood, you and I are pretty healthy and everything. So, it just kind of, we got to thank our lucky stars that we're pretty much healthy and we can just help other people and just make our world a better place for others, and ourselves. It works both ways.
Absolutely. Try and break those unhealthy habits.
I'm glad to be on. It's been a while. I've been a little bit rusty being on air after being gone for almost a month and a half.
Did I tell you on a personal note, I don't remember if I mentioned to you that, my liver, because I was a heavy drinker for a long time,
it was
in a pretty bad shape. And so I'd quit drinking for about 5-6 years. I mean, I was back in the day for probably 12 or 13 years, I was pounding a 6-pack a day on an empty stomach a night, and it took its toll on my liver. I wasn't in liver failure, but I think my liver was pretty much a stick of butter. So it's interesting. I just had my liver checked. I had another ultrasound, and it's like totally normal now. So that's a testament to rising above one's compulsions and addictions to make the healthy changes in your life. Because had I continued that behavior, it would probably be a different conversation or no conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm glad you quit too, Jason. I'm really glad. We'll have to get together one of these times. I'll talk to you off air, and I've got a party coming up, so it's going to be on a Sunday, so perhaps you can come out and bring your girlfriend and have a join us for a party.
It'll have to be Shirley Temple's or Roy Rogers because I'm still not drinking.
No, don't worry about that. It's just, but it'd be kind of nice to bring your, it'll be in the afternoon on Sunday. So, as a matter of fact, I'm not even going to be, I'm not going to be on Paranormal Horizons. I'm hosting a party.
Woo, party time. Where's my
Depending on the situation, maybe you might cancel the show for that night and come and join us. I'll talk to you later. We're gonna have some good times.
Cool, very good. Well, with that we'll close the show. I wanna thank everybody for listening. We'll be back next Sunday at 8 PM West Coast time. It sounds like it'll be me and Maria. And I'm choking, I just swallowed my own spit. Or inhaled my own spit. With that, we'll bid everybody a wonderful week.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, guys, thank you for supporting Paranormal Horizons for all these years and all these episodes. And, hey, we're just bantering on, but No, thank you for just being part of our group and following us on Facebook. And, yeah, I've been kind of low on the trenches and, you know, kind of doing my thing. But, no, I'm still part of them and part of PH. And I'm so glad that you guys are part of us, too. So, in the meantime, maybe until next week, I will hopefully, depending on my schedule, hopefully be back on, if not next week, in 2 weeks from now.
We got to get the Facebook fired back up. Before, we were reaching 6 million people a week, and now we're like the 300,000. We got to get back up on that Facebook upswing.
Yeah, that we should. That's for sure. All right, everybody. Hey, take care.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.